And a new report by BC Forest Safety Ombudsman, says rural British Columbians are not getting the emergency help they need. Roger Harris' report on emergency helicopter response times will be published today. It finds that 75% of rural British Columbians die from life-threatening injuries before they ever get to a hospital. That's compared to 12% in Metro Vancouver. And Harris makes three recommendations to improve service, including legislated improved response times. And we've reached the Ombudsman in Vancouver. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
So why is there such a discrepancy between people in rural BC and Metro Vancouver getting to a hospital in time?
Well, it's probably a great question, and I think the report looks at a lot of the contributing factors to it, but a lot of it has to do where the resources are. I think there's pieces of it that are part of protocols, and basically when you dispatch a helicopter for an injury versus when you dispatch a land-based. There's been a lot of reports, and I actually reference a number of them in this report that have been done looking at sort of how to improve services. And I think a lot of them have all tried to look at the existing legislation, which really drives, which was put together in 1974, drives how things are needed to work and who's responsible. And my report really, I think, starts to say that you can't sort of just look at trying to work within the system. You need to actually make some fundamental changes.
Okay, so
and if you're...
Sorry, as I say, we'll get to those changes in just a moment. I imagine, though, I mean, given the how long it's been, you say 1974 since it was first drafted, no? It's been a while since we've actually had this update on this.
Well, the original legislation was written in 1974, and those are really the sections that I refer to in the report that I think need to be, one there that needs to be changed, and the other one really is a new suggestion, which is what other jurisdictions do. They actually legislate the time that is required, a minimum time for people to be able to actually access trauma-free services.
Okay, so how will that help exactly, do you think?
Well, currently, I think right now there's a lot of variables in how helicopters are dispatched versus land-based ambulances. And in the north, the model is a land-based ambulance response. And obviously, if you break your leg in downtown Vancouver, you're 12 minutes from a hospital. If you break your leg in Iskut, B.C., I mean, the distance is measured in hours, not in minutes. The road conditions are different, and land-based ambulances. And so an injury that's not life-threatening, you'll find yourself riding in an ambulance. And I'm suggesting that there's a lot more factors that need to be considered in the north. But maybe the fundamental basic piece is that I think from the province perspective, we're always trying to provide equal access to health care. And I think all of us accept to some degree that not every community can have a hospital or every community can have even those services. It's almost an inverse curve. As you move into communities that have less access to infrastructure, then they actually need enhanced services. They should have quicker access and more access, and maybe helicopter response is the primary response, not less access. And rural communities are sort of hit twice, once by not having the infrastructure to begin with, and two, having a response method that actually takes you a lot longer to get to a hospital. And all of those affect medical outcomes.
And imagine that, though, to have improved services like that costs a lot of money, though.
Well, there is a cost, but I make the point. We have fire departments in every community. If you don't have a fire and it's in Smithers all year, at the end of the year, do you just close all your fire departments and decide you don't need them anymore? And you have police forces that do the same. I think emergency response and ambulance services are unequal to that. And those are sort of just the cost for rural communities. You know, one of the struggles rural communities have is the whole aspect of attracting investment and people to live in them and people to quality of life when they make those decisions, whether it's Prince George or Smithers or Dease Lake. And, you know, one of those quality of life factors is health care and education. And I think that for rural communities, they do need to be able to tell people, maybe we don't have a clinic here, but I can assure you that if something happens to you or your family or to a worker in the field, that you're going to be in front of the right physician in a timely fashion that ensures that your health care is going to be equitable to what other people receive in the province of BC.
Do you think that there's something about changing expectations, especially for those that live up here? I mean, there is a notion that because people choose to live, say, in rural or remote areas, that they should, you know, expect slower emergency responses. It seems almost like a given that if you live in a remote area, you can't expect services that you might get living in an urban setting. How do you challenge that expectation, do you think?
Well, I think you just have to challenge it. And you know, to your point, one of the questions I was asked yesterday is, I'm saying is a gap. And I said, well, actually, I'm not saying it at all. It was during my interviews with those people that actually provide the services. They're the ones that made the observation that if you live in rural BC, you can't expect the same level of service. So when those who are supposed to manage the access to us all have already conceded the point that you're not going to get that service, I think that we're already, you know, coming from a far way back. Mm-hmm. I think the only way that you guarantee that people have equal access is you actually put in place legislative times by which people can access health care. And that just drives people to not so much look at the protocols anymore because time becomes the critical factor. It's done in other jurisdictions. It forces governments through their delivery model, which in this case is BC Ambulance, to put in place the infrastructure that can do that. And of course, one of my other recommendations is they actually review the legislation to look at how do you expand the number of assets you've got up there. Well, we have a marvelous resource in first responders in BC. Mm-hmm. They're in every ambulance department, in every community. They're in search and rescue organizations. But you know, right now under the legislation, it's illegal for them to transport patients to hospitals. When we start to open up those kinds of flexibility, the system needs more flexibility, not less. You open up that, and you're now doing two things. You legislate a response time, which now puts in place the infrastructure, and you open up those people and provide the additional training to let them be part of the team that actually manages accident victims. Now you're starting to put resources to it that we don't have today. So I think all of these are pieces. But at the end of the day, if you live in rural BC, you're not receiving the same service. In fact, mm-hmm. I think you're being impacted twice.
Right. Now, as part of that, getting back to kind of like the roles and responsibilities of those in various organizations, if I'm to understand correctly, part of the recommendations that you talked about is splitting up the responsibilities from BC Ambulance and Emergency Health Services, no?
What I'm suggesting is that there is a role to be played. Right now, we have different people handling different responsibilities. So if somebody goes in to extract someone that's injured, that's one organization, but they don't do the transportation. They then transfer that patient to some other organization. You start to introduce hoisting as a method of extracting people, where you're now bringing people directly into helicopters instead of long lines, where you're hanging them below and transferring them at a transfer point. You can now start to integrate the services a lot better. And the whole point here is I think the accepted, the truism is that the sooner you get health care, the better your health outcomes are. This is all about ensuring that we get people that need health care to those facilities. They can get it quicker and faster. And under the current model, if you live in rural BC, you're at a significant disadvantage.
Where time is of essence. Oh, so, I mean, you've laid out these recommendations. How will you make sure these recommendations are enacted on?
Well, ombudsman, we don't have the power to make people do things. We hope that they look at our recommendations and see them as thoughtful and reasonable. And we sort of we compel behavior. I think these are three very good recommendations. One speaks to actually putting in place rules that cover every single citizen of BC. And I think if you live in Dease Lake or Iskut or live in Vancouver, you should have equal access, as best equitable access. I think the way you do that is where infrastructure doesn't exist, you actually put enhanced transportation ambulance services, not the reverse. And I think to provide greater assets, you need to open up the opportunities for first responders and others to play a more comprehensive role in the movement of patients from wherever they are to those facilities. And I think one of the other recommendations I make is that maybe, you know, we now have regionalized health care. In 74, we didn't. Northern Health Authority probably knows best the kind of equipment they need to have in the north to be able to deliver that service, as does Vancouver Island Health or Fraser Health or Interior Health. Maybe some components of the ambulance service should actually be regionalized with the health authorities so that their constituents who speak to them actually are integrated better in the system instead of a central organization.
Well, we'll continue to follow to see if these recommendations eventually are enacted on. Roger, I thank you so much for joining me this morning.
All right, and thank you for the time.
You bet. Roger Harris is BC's Forest Safety Ombudsman, and we reached him in Vancouver. And your thoughts, how fair is it? Do you think, to expect equal service when it comes to emergencies in northern BC? Let us know your thoughts on what you just heard. You can email us, daybreaknorth@cbc.ca. You can also call our listener line, 1-866-340-1932, or find us on Facebook and Twitter at Daybreak North.